Great. Well, it is great to be able to be with you, not in the way that I would like to be. And I'm so sorry I'm not there in person, but I'm glad that we can do this like this, and I'm glad that you can hear me. I wasn't going to let, having done a whole of Jonah, I wasn't going to let something like this stop me from doing the last part of our series in Jonah. And so we've just heard chapter 4 read to us, a very quick recap where we're up to. Jonah has finally got himself to Nineveh, and he's given the message that God asked him to give, and now the whole city has repented and have turned back to God. And they've not just repented, they've demonstrated it in their actions as well as in their words. Now, I wonder what makes you angry. If I was there in person with you, I'd love to get some feedback and to hear some of the things that get you angry. I'm guessing it would be things like injustice, and perhaps, I don't know, poor political decisions. Maybe there's a whole, perhaps unjust, wars and things like that, which I guess make all of us slightly angry in some way. But it's the small things, isn't it? Which I'm going to admit a few flaws in my character here. I do get slightly angry when people are driving along in the middle lane on a motorway and they're going slower than all the rest of the traffic on the lanes beside them as well. And you just think, pull over into the slow lane. I'll be honest, I get a little bit irritated when people are doing that as well. It's these little things which can really grind our gears, can't they? And can really make us angry. I once took a group of young people to this youth camp thing, and we entered this volleyball tournament. This is going back years. And we won the tournament. We didn't lose a single game. And when it came to the winning of the prize, they gave the prize to a different team, unbeknown to me. Why not? When we didn't lose a single game. And when I asked the man about it, he was like, "Oh, I put in some handicap system or something." And even to this day, and this was probably, nearly 25 years ago, I still feel that injustice of that happening. I know it's stupid. I know I should have moved on by now, but sometimes things can get hold of us, can't they? Anger can get a grip in us, and sometimes it can come back to us. And we can get angry about the trivial things, and we can get angry about the things that really matter, which are much more serious. Now, after everything that has happened to Jonah, all that we've heard up to this point, all that Jonah has been through, all that's happened to him, his attitude here in chapter 4, it really is quite strange. We see a side of Jonah which we just think, this guy's got some issues. It's a strange thing to get angry about God doing something good. He really believes it's wrong. I really like the way that the Message version of the Bible puts verses 1 and 2. Let me just read this to you. It says, Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God. God, I knew it. I knew it when I was back home. I knew that this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. Jonah just hates the fact that God granted an opportunity for the Ninevites to repent. You see, Jonah didn't want repentance. What Jonah wanted was he wanted judgment. He wanted God's judgment upon these people. And he was so angry that this hadn't happened. He just couldn't handle it. And the weird thing is, Jonah recognizes these beautiful qualities about God, but he mentions them with an angry tone. He says, God, you are, I knew and I know that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are slow to anger, that you are abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is our God. And when I think of God as being gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and all of these things, abounding in love, my heart leaps and I say, wow, this is the God that we worship. And you see, this is the God who Jonah obviously knew. He'd in fact enjoyed God in this way. He'd benefited from God's graciousness and mercy. But his issue was he would not extend that to others. And so this is the reason why he fled in the first place. He says it, I knew, God, that you were like this. That's why I went in the opposite direction. That's why he didn't want to go, because he did not want the Assyrians, the Ninevites, to see the God of grace and mercy and love. He wanted them to see God's judgment. I'm really conscious about coughing now. Not that you can get it from here, but I'm really conscious about it now. You see, repentance and salvation was offered to the people of Nineveh. But for Jonah, it was simply too painful that they would even be given that opportunity. So much so, such was his distress in this, that Jonah says, well, I would rather die than think about it. In other words, he says, well, God, if you won't kill them, then kill me. I'm better off dead. Jonah's anger is really beginning to bubble over now. Some years ago, I was on an underground train, just heading back from London, back to Purley. And I was with a couple of young people-ish. Well, they were sort of students who were doing a year out with me. One of them was Ben, who's led worship here on a couple of occasions. Whilst we were travelling back, we were talking about stuff that we needed to do, and we got back to Purley and Ben was talking about getting some worship sorted out. Now, I was sitting next to a really big man. I mean, he was massive, you know, really big arms and like big chested, bald head, looked quite mean. But as we're sitting there, it suddenly went silent in the sort of cabin, in the, what's it called, the carriage. No one was really speaking. And then all of a sudden, this man turns to me and he says, do you love the Lord? In that kind of gravelly voice, he went, do you love the Lord? A little bit taken aback, I sort of turned to him and I went, yes, do you? And it turned out he did. And he'd heard our conversation about worship and then wanted to share some of his own story with how he had become a Christian. It was great and really encouraging. But for this moment, this little moment, this little question that I was asked me by this really big man, do you love the Lord? For just a moment, I was wondering, what's the best way to answer this? Sometimes questions can do something in us. When we're questioned about something, it can cause a stirring inside of us. And that's what God is trying to do here. In verse 4, God questions Jonah and he says, is it right for you to be angry? Now, God, in fact, all through the Bible, there are loads of times where God questions people in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and 4, in 1 Samuel, in Isaiah 6, in Matthew and Acts, where God directly questions somebody about something. And here God questions Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And you know when God's questioning you that there's good reason for it. And I'm sure at that moment, something in Jonah, in his inner self, was beginning to knot up as he heard this question. And instead of answering it, Jonah, in a sense, seems to ignore God's questioning. And he actually goes out of the city walls and he goes and sits. He sort of makes himself a makeshift shelter. And he goes and waits to see what's going to happen to the city. And I just wonder, maybe he's thinking that their repentance wasn't genuine and that God is going to change his mind. And he would be safe sitting outside of the walls as he watches Nineveh get destroyed. You see, these are strange actions. He's just given God's message, seen all of these people repent. And now he is still sitting outside of the city waiting to see what happens. And then the story, it continues. In verse 6, we read that God provides this leafy plant to grow up over Jonah and to give him some shade. It was easing his discomfort from the heat. And we read that Jonah is finally happy. This is Jonah's happy place. Maybe he felt for the first time that God was doing something just for him rather than just sending him out. What a strange thing to make you happy. You see, Jonah's happiness and his anger were all about self. They were all about himself. A whole city had repented and turned back to God, yet Jonah is made happy by a leafy plant. I mean, come on. Unbeknown to Jonah, though, God was about to use this plant for an object lesson. Because we read as the sun comes up that he provides a worm to chew through the plant, causing it to wither and to be no more. He then sends this east wind and a blazing sun upon Jonah's head. Now, I have to say, I can sympathize with Jonah on this one. Being a pasty white boy like me, the smallest amount of sun and I am as red as a lobster. In fact, I think I get sunburnt even when it's snowing. I'm so prone to the sun hitting me. And just a little side point here, Jonah's anger with God bringing the Ninevites to a place of repentance, the ancient Hebrew word for angry literally means to be hot. Perhaps God here is saying to Jonah, well, you need to feel the heat a bit. And what's Jonah's response? Well, of course, Jonah's response is he wants to die. Death would be better than life. I mean, Jonah appears to me to be a very all or nothing kind of person, isn't it? He really does. And then God asks Jonah a second question. And it's similar to the first, but not the same. He says to Jonah, okay, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah's reply is, it is. I'm so angry, I wish I was dead. And that are the last words we hear from Jonah in the Bible. It's the last recorded words he says in his book. It is so angry, I wish I was dead. Jonah felt completely justified in his anger about what had happened to this plant, which is pretty amazing considering he had nothing to do with the plant. He didn't make it grow. He hadn't had any personal interest in it. He hadn't invested any time or energy into this plant. All the plant did for him was to give him a welcome shade from the heat. He did nothing for that plant. And yet, he justified his anger when the plant was no more. And then God finishes off this narrative and this text in this book of Jonah. And he uses this whole event with the plant to speak directly to Jonah. And he says, well, and should I then not have concern for the great city of Nineveh in verse 11? 120,000 people who we read can't even tell their right hand from their left, which is another way of saying they were incapable of making a moral judgment. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, God says. You see, God made these people. I think God is trying to paint a picture here to Jonah. He's saying on one side of the scale, we've got this plant that you care so much about. And on the other side, we've got the people of Nineveh. And this is more important for you, the plant. But for me, it's the people. If you can be bothered about a plant, well, I can be bothered about the destruction of all these people. And you see, this is the reality. God loves all people. For Jonah, that meant it was outside of just the people of Israel. All people, even the ones who are hard to love. Should I not have pity for Nineveh? And you see, we've looked at this book of Jonah throughout the last 5 weeks. And not only does it show us something of this strange and complex prophet, but it shows us so much of who God is and what God is like. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, and ready to relent instead of bringing calamity. I'd love to ask you a question, but obviously I can't hear your responses. And the question I'd love to ask is, well, do you like this book? Do you like this book? I'd love to know right now whether you're nodding your head or shaking or thinking, oh, I'm not really sure. You see, for me, and with this I finish, this book is a mirror for us. And it's a mirror which in one sense smacks us right in the face, because it says to us, can we accept that God loves and forgives our enemies too? Can we accept this? Can we accept that God loves those people who have hurt us? Can we accept that God loves those people who annoy us? That neighbor who has caused us much distress over many years. That person who we know continually gossips about us. That church member who frustrates us. That colleague at work who makes fun of us. That person who offends us or abuses us. That awful pastor. Can we accept it that God extends his love and his forgiveness to even these people? Can we accept it? You see, Jonah couldn't, and we don't know if he ever did, because the book just suddenly ends and it leaves us on this cliff edge in a sense. Did Jonah suddenly realize? But it's also, do we realize? Can we accept that God's love and forgiveness extends even to the people who we find really hard to not alone, let alone love, we find them hard even to like? And it's tough, isn't it? It's really tough, because Not only do we have to accept that God does love and forgive our enemies, he also wants us to share that love and that forgiveness also. And we don't like it. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I find myself more like Jonah than I'd like to admit. My prayer for me and us as a church is that we may have more of Jonah's ability to listen to God and to hear his voice and to be obedient, which he eventually was, even in difficult circumstances, but less of his anger, and especially less, in fact, zero of his not being willing to extend God's grace to all people. The book of Jonah is hugely challenging for us. I hope you've enjoyed looking through it. I have. And I hope that we can take God's compassion, his grace, his mercy, his abounding love, and demonstrate it to all people. The ones who we love and like, and even those who we may not describe them as enemies, but they're the ones that we find hard to get on with. May we know God's blessing. May this word to us today go deep down inside us. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you all again really soon. Sorry I couldn't be there today, but I plan to be back next Sunday. Take care. God bless, and I'll see you soon.